This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode of the preview show brought to you by the Known and Ever podcast. It is Friday night. We have got another Premier League game coming up, and we are playing the fallen from grace, the mighty, not so mighty anymore, Manchester United. I am joined, as ever, by the main man himself, the headliner of the preview show, Dave Statman-Roberts, to give you all the stats, facts, and details you need ahead of our trip to Old Trafford. And do not fret, as most of you will want by now, we will, of course, be rating the Manchester United celebrity fans. So, without further ado, let's go. Good evening, Dave. How are we, sir?
Slightly better after a win at the weekend. As you mentioned in the analysis show, is the great escape on? Well, probably not, but it gives us a little bit of hope, doesn't it?
It really does. And I think that's a lovely prompt. It's like Dave's a pro, listeners. It's like we don't line him up for these things. But if you haven't yet checked out this week's analysis show, do stop right now and go straight there first. I am joined this week by Rich and Tom to look back at all those talking points. We even talk about some rumours of Vincent Kompany going to Brighton. So do just jump back an episode and check that out before you carry on with the preview show. But Dave, I think, as we said on that previous show, at this moment in time, what have we got to lose? Why not get excited? There's four games to go. It's been a pretty miserable season. We've got nothing else to play for. If we're realistic enough to think, well, we won't be devastated. I know Rich on the show was a bit like, oh, I don't want to get my hopes up and have them dashed. Or was it Tom, one of the two of them? But if you go into it thinking we probably won't survive, then why not get excited? Because you just never know. We're only 3 points. I didn't expect us at this point of the season, Dave, to actually still have something to play for. I think that's an important thing.
There is that. And Manchester United aren't on the best of runs. They were struggling. They're actually, as we record this on Wednesday, they are beating Sheffield United 3-2 now.
Oh, it was 1-1, wasn't it? 1-0 to start off with Sheffield United scored. So
we're down 2-1 as well and came back. And then it's back to 3-2 to United now. Obviously, by the time you listen to this, you'll know what the score is. But they are very hot and cold, Manchester United, so they are beatable. So, yeah, we'd go with some hope on Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. They are certainly not the powerhouse they have been in certain seasons. Well, we'll save that chat for later on in the episode, Dave, because we do have a preview show that we need to record, because you have got some delight in store for our listeners this evening. It is, of course, Saturday, 27th of April, it's a 3 p.m. kickoff, not televised anywhere in the UK. It is Old Trafford and Manchester United away. Dave, why don't you kick us off, please, with your match results summary.
Yeah, Saturday will be Burnley's 60th away league match against Manchester United, although several of those were against Newton Heath, as they were known prior to 1902. And although our 59 previous league visits have resulted in 14 Burnley wins, victories at Old Trafford have been much rarer in recent times. In fact, there's only been one Burnley win in the last 18 attempts, going back more than 60 years. And we'll have more details about that match a little bit later on. So our overall record is played 59, won 14, drawn 11 and lost 34. And although Burnley have scored 75 goals in those matches, we've conceded 132. Ooh. Exactly half of the eight previous away trips to Old Trafford in the Premier League, have ended in defeat. But as well as the previously mentioned win, we've also seen three draws. We had goalkeeper Tom Heaton and his defence to thank for a point in 2016. Then the 2-2 draw on Boxing Day 2017 saw us take a two-goal lead with an early opener from Ashley Barnes and a spectacular free kick from Stephen Defoe before being pegged back. And then history repeated itself in January 2019 when, after a goalless first half, Ashley Barnes and Chris Wood put us into a two-goal lead with less than 10 minutes remaining, only to be thwarted by two late United goals, including the award of a very questionable penalty. We can only hope the Clarets can take advantage of an indifferent Manchester United and conjure up another positive result at Old Trafford this weekend, when we need it the most.
Yeah, definitely. I'm just going to pause the preview show right there, Dave, because I've got some breaking news coming in as we are recording. Our women's team have just secured the LFA Women's Senior Cup, the second season in a row. Congratulations, our women's team. What a fantastic result. We'll bring more on that later on. But I just wanted to, breaking news, producer Matt just prompted me as we were in the middle of the recording saying, "Oi, talk about this, please." So there you go. It's like we're live editing, listeners, just for you. Back to the show, Dave, and back to the men's senior team. We're going to go on to our new feature, which is one to remember and one to forget. It's a retrospective look featuring a couple of previous meetings which were memorable for very different reasons. Why don't we start with our one to forget, please, Dave?
Our first visit to face United at Old Trafford in the Premier League came at a turbulent time, as the sudden departure of Owen Coyle and most of his backroom staff halfway through Burnley's first top-flight campaign since the mid-1970s left an unexpected void in early January 2010. However, the managerial hot seat was hastily filled when ex-Clarets fullback Brian Laws was appointed as the club's new manager. Even without the benefit of hindsight, it was hardly an inspiring choice. But 3,000 visiting Burnley fans saw a determined start to the match and some defensive solidity, something that hadn't always been the case at away grounds earlier that season. In fact, it was still goalless just after the hour mark. But then two goals in 6 minutes from Dimitar Berbatov and Wayne Rooney, plus another near the end from Mame Biram Diouf, sealed a 3-0 victory for the home side. Looking back at my archive of match reports, the Burnley Express remained relatively upbeat and had the headline, "Reds Revenge, Encouraging Start for Laws." Although, as we now know, that season ended in relegation and Brian Laws' time as manager only lasted until just after Christmas 2010.
Indeed. Well, let's go on to a more positive match then, Dave. What have you picked for our one to remember?
Well, we've had several draws at Old Trafford in recent seasons, as we've mentioned, but it's hard to imagine us choosing anything but our only win at this ground in the last 60 years, as our one to remember. It was late January 2020, and this was one of the last times that Burnley fans, 2,071 on this occasion, plus a few in the press box, were able to enjoy an away day, or night in this case, before the impact of the COVID pandemic, which had its say just a matter of a few weeks later. We've already mentioned the 0-0 draw here from October 2016 and the two 2-2 draws in 2017 and 2019, but this time we finally got the long-awaited win, and it was very much deserved. After Chris Wood had given us the lead shortly before half-time, it was a slick passing move involving Ashley Westwood, Chris Wood and Jay Rodriguez, which resulted in a powerfully angled shot from Jay, which found the roof of the net. This was in the 56th minute, and in truth, United didn't ever show too many signs of being able to turn things around. As time went on, this became very apparent to the Old Trafford crowd, which began thinning out to the extent that by the end of the match, the dominant colour on view was the red of the empty seats in the stands, as referee John Moss blew the final whistle. Ironically, this result was a turning point for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's United team, which went unbeaten for the remaining 14 matches of the extended league season. For us, though, it was another memorable away win. Burnley have only managed one away win in Manchester in 17 previous Premier League visits to play United and City. What we wouldn't give to double that tally this weekend.
Yeah, definitely, because the Great Escape needs to be on. Well, listeners, before we come back to previewing that Pirate side of this fixture, you know we like to give you our opposition view. As ever, we welcome back to the preview show friend of the show, Johnny Hoare, who gives us his views ahead of the game.
Well, just a few matches to go. 4 for Burnley, 5 for United, I think. Burnley can still stay up, but maybe your best hope is more fights for Forest, and they might well oblige. As for United, I'm really not sure if we have something to play for in the league or not. Are we at that point where players are auditioning for places in the cup final, or are they trying not to get injured so that they can play in the cup final? Or are we experimenting with players and styles for the cup final or for next season? Are we actually still kidding ourselves that we might get fourth or fifth place in the league? Who knows? And will it make any difference which one of those things we're trying to do? Things to expect in this game. Expect to have 20 pot shots at Onana. Expect the scoreline to be 4-3. I think that's been our most popular scoreline this season. Expect the fans to boo Rashford for not tracking back. Expect the midfield to be a desert. If you score, expect to score again, probably very soon afterwards. And most of all, have fun. Team news. So we're still down to one centre-back. So I assume Casemiro will join Maguire again to form United's slowest centre-back pairing since late stage Bruce and Pallister. Let's hope Ahmad gets a chance ahead of Antony, because what's the point of playing Antony? I think Rashford's actually not fit, so ignore what I said about the booing. McTominay did look to be fit again, so I'm expecting he will come into midfield ahead of the rapidly fading Christian Eriksen. And apparently Mason Mount plays for us and might make an appearance. I think he's back to fitness, barely appeared all season. Very confusing. Scoreline-wise, oh, well, obviously 4-3 to United. Bye!
Okay, Dave, can we have some referee news, please?
Well, assuming the PGMOL don't make any late changes this time, John Brooks of Melton Mowbray in Leicestershire, who may or may not be a Leicester City fan, is due to be in charge at Old Trafford this Saturday afternoon. He's only taken charge of 2 previous Burnley matches, as well as a 0-0 draw at Wolves in early December 2021. He was also the referee for another of our away matches in Manchester, namely last season's FA Cup.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Quarterfinal at the City of Manchester Stadium, which, as we know, ended in a 6-0 defeat, with Manchester City going through. Simon Hooper will be the Didio assistant referee this time. He's a Swindon Town fan, by the way.
Well, there's only one question that I need to ask you about referees and VAR officials. Is there a Luton fan in there, Dave?
No, Stuart Atwell's not involved in our
Good. Right. Well, we already touched about this at the beginning of the show, Dave. Let's expand on this a little bit more. It is a must-win game if Burnley are going to... Well, actually, no, it's not a must-win game, I guess, because, well, we've got 4 games left. We have to better a result of Forest's in the first 3, because then we can overtake them on the last game. So at the moment, we're 3 points behind, but our goal difference is most terrible. So we have to better them. So we either need to get a draw... They're playing City this weekend. Yeah, probably not going to... get anything from there. If we can get 3 points, that would be spectacular. Now, given just what a disarray United are in at the moment, Coventry very much showed us how to do it the weekend. Sheffield United have put in a very spirited performance as well this evening. Given, on top of that, Dave, just how well this side is starting to come into fruition, What do you think our realistic chances are of getting a result?
I think we can go in with a positive mindset. We know we have had certainly the last 6-7 games a lot more solidity. The team seems to be gelling a little bit more, and we seem to be putting a run of results together. It was just that one defeat against Everton, obviously disappointing. We've drawn probably too many games, games that we perhaps could have got wins out of. So we need to just continue that momentum, really, more than anything else. Man United have actually scored a fourth goal now.
Oh,
it's 4-2 going into the last few minutes. So we have to be careful. I think Sheffield United would have gone there with a more defensive mindset. I don't think we'll be quite as defensive as that. We never are. And that's something they can take advantage of. We know the players they have available to them. They can do that. So it's a case of trying to be, as I say, trying to keep the momentum going, trying not to be too open. But they are there for the taking. I think they are. It's a possibility we can play them. We know perhaps when we got the win last time, they were on a little bit of a dodgy run. Mm-hmm. We perhaps played at the right time when we got that 2-0 win. And then after that, they were back to their best again. They went 14 matches unbeaten. So these things kind of can be down to timing sometimes. It might be a good time to play.
Yeah, and I thought our performances against them when we played at home earlier on in the season, it was a very narrow loss in the end. I thought we played really, really well against them. They looked like they were going to have a poor season back then, and it hasn't really improved. In terms of personnel, would you be tempted to make any changes, or do we just literally stick with this much more settled side that seems to be performing very well these days?
I think there might be the temptation to keep the same 11 on Saturday. Obviously, they've gone out and got a good result last weekend. It was perhaps a little bit more defensive in terms of the way we'd set up, but that might not be a bad thing in terms of the team we've got out there. I think we just need to stay in the game, really. We can't afford to go a goal or two down and try and get the lead and keep it. Obviously, Sheffield United have done that. They ship goals for fun, don't they, Sheffield United, or they have done this season.
We have at times, to be fair.
Not quite as many as they have. But we have looked a little bit more solid, certainly in the last 7-8 games. And that's a good time of season to be coming into form. It's obviously a little bit too late, really, from our point of view. But we hope we haven't left it to the last minute. We hope that we can still get enough results. And it's giving ourselves a fighting chance more than anything else. And as you say, it's a case of trying to do our own thing and get results in our game, hoping all the results go our way and giving ourselves...
Yeah, it's not in our hands. That's the biggest thing. Yeah. Give us a score prediction then, please, Dave.
Well, I went for a win last week. I'm going to go for another win again. I don't think we'll keep a clean sheet, so I think it might be a 2-1 Burnley win.
I also think we're going to win, Dave. I also don't think we're going to keep a clean sheet, but I'm going to say 3-1. I think we're going to be 2-1 up, and I think we're going to attack United's defence as they're trying to get that equaliser and we get a late goal. Listeners, you know the drill by now. Please, we would love to know what your score predictions are. You can contact us on any of our social media channels and let us know what you think the score will be. Scorers, how the score, you let us know what you think of the game. Dave, we're going to round off this preview show then with everybody's favourite feature, and that is the return of rating the celebrity fans, or famous fans, as I've seen you put it in. Have I been calling it wrong all season?
Either or, they both do. I interchange. Yeah.
Ah, okay, phew. Thank goodness. I just saw it on my script and I went, oh gosh, I've been calling it rate celebrity fans all season. I might have been calling it the wrong thing, but, you know, not the first time, listeners, and it certainly will not be the last. So we're going to rate the famous fans of Manchester United. Dave has shortlisted us some personnel for you to have a look at. He has already put that to your known and ever team of panellists to get their scores. So why don't you let our listeners know who made the cut, please?
Well, before I do that, I must say, before I give this list out, it was very divisive this week. We had whole gamut of scores from quite high to very, very low. So it's a divided opinion.
It's not like, it's unlike the known and ever team to be volatile, Dave, or emotionally charged.
It's mainly Rich, to be fair. But
yeah, it's usually Rich or George. It's one of the two. The rest of us are pretty chilled, but yeah, bless their little hearts. Go on then. Let's see what's caused the controversy this week.
Okay, we've got 6 names for you, starting with Rick Astley, singer,
legend. Never gonna.
The shy, unassuming lad from Newton the Willows first came to the world's attention as a 21-year-old when he burst onto the music scene in 1987 with his debut smash hit "Never Gonna Give You Up."
And still dining out on that, Dave. Still dining out on my hit.
He has had multi-platinum selling singles and albums all around the world. He still records and performs to this day, and he's always been a United fan. He was even on the TalkSport Breakfast Show earlier this season, giving his views on the team. To his credit, although United have let Rick down in the past, he's never deserted them.
Oh, David. Okay, you can have that one. I like that one. Yes. Okay, who's next?
Next on the list, Stormzy. Rapper aged 30, despite being born in Croydon, he's an avid Manchester United supporter, something which he gets a lot of stick for being a Londoner. But he told Sky Sports that his dad and brother didn't follow any particular team, so he went his own way and started to support United. He even got former United manager Jose Mourinho to make a guest appearance on his single, "Mel Made Me Do It," along with the next celebrity United fan on our list, who is Usain Bolt. Retired athlete, age 37, born in Jamaica, is perhaps the greatest sprinter of all time and is said to have developed an interest in European football as a teenager before he went into the world of athletics, although back then his loyalties were apparently divided between Real Madrid and Manchester United. He's been to Old Trafford on several occasions as a guest of the club and has even scored a goal there. He was in the annual Soccer Aid charity match.
Ah, that's a good one. Okay.
Next up, Tyson Fury, professional boxer, aged 35. Nicknamed the Gypsy King, he was born in Withenshaw in Manchester, so it means at least he supports his local team. Standing at a daunting 6'9" tall, he was actually born prematurely and only weighed 1 pound. But he went on to become a multi-heavyweight world champion. To date, he's won 34 and drawn just one of his 35 professional bouts between 2008 and 2023.
Okay, that's a good one.
Number five on the list is James Nesbitt, actor, age 59. When he was growing up in County Antrim in Northern Ireland, little Jimmy Nesbitt dreamed of being a footballer and playing for Manchester United. It's perhaps George Best who's responsible for there being a strong following for the club in this part of the world in the late 60s and early 70s. However, he had to settle for a long and successful career as an actor, predominantly in TV dramas. And finally, Bernard Sumner, musician and singer, aged 68, Salford-born New Order frontman and member of Joy Division before that, Bernard Sumner is a lifetime Red, although he tends to watch from his sofa these days rather than the stands. He's recalled the time he went to see United's victory parade in the city centre after they won the European Cup in 1968 with bandmate Peter Hook. He was also, of course, the co-writer of the Joy Division song "Love Will Tear Us Apart," which is a staple of the Old Trafford crowd.
Excellent.
With James Word, of course.
I wouldn't have thought that that was that divisive a list, actually. What was the problem? What was the controversy amongst our young panellists?
Rich's words, to quote precisely, were, they're all plastics.
Okay. Fine. I mean, listen, this is United, and that you know, we don't like to stereotype here, but the average United fan is not born and raised in Manchester, so I kind of get that. Did anybody have anything positive to say about that list?
Yeah, there were some decent scores. I think we had up eight and a half. Yeah, some fairly high scores, but obviously a low score as well.
Okay. Well, I think 7 to 7.5 is a decent score for that one. There's a couple of pretty A-list celebrities in there and sportsmen. So I'm going to say 7.5, I think. Dave, are you happy for me to settle on that?
I think 7.5 in quite a common score, hasn't it? I think there could be quite a few teams tied on that at the end of the season when you do the table.
Yes, I'm trying to forget that I gave you a lot of work to do by the end of the season. You know, you're going to have the summer off, Dave. So, you know, one last thing before you go, before you have a summer off. Excellent. Well done, United fans. That's a relatively credible list. And despite all of the jokes and sent your way about your fans, you do have some pretty high-profile ones there. So well done. Dave, let's finish off. FPL news. What's Adam Dennett sent for us this time, please?
Oh, we haven't sent anything. I do the little updates in the preview shows.
Whoa, hang on there a minute. Do I need to bring Adam Dennett in for a little bit of a pep talk here? Has he been shirking his responsibilities? Do I need to speak to him?
It's fine. Obviously, Adam does the detailed updates when we do the leagues and everything. But just for the preview show, I just do a couple of lines. So,
okay. What have you got for us then, Dave?
Okay, for this weekend, following the biggest double game week of the season, which concluded with Manchester City's visit to play Brighton on Thursday, we're straight into game week 35, starting with the Saturday lunchtime kickoff between West Ham United and Liverpool. This means you have until 11 a.m. on Saturday morning to get your team and tactics finalised. It's also worth remembering that it'll be a double game week for Spurs and Chelsea, which may well have a bearing on your decision making. As always, we'd like to wish green arrows to all of our managers, which is unlikely, we know, but with only a few rounds left to go this season, it's certainly going to be interesting to see who eventually finishes on top of the No Nay Never league table and who's going to be crowned as our FPL champion for this season.
Definitely. I cannot wait. Four games to go. Good luck to all of you still in with a shot. We'll be in with our prizes and I'll have to catch up with Adam, so I don't know who's won our cup. Has a cup been done yet? Or is that the final game of the season?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know either. I shall catch up with Adam on your behalf, listeners, and I will find out. But yes, green arrows to you all. Any community news that we need to share?
Nothing additional this time, no.
Good, excellent. Well, that is all we have time for, listeners. This has been your preview show ahead of this weekend's game at Old Trafford. My thanks as ever go to everybody who has contributed to this episode. Not least the main man himself, Dave Roberts. Do please check out Burnley Stats. He puts a phenomenal amount of time and effort into building that page. And you can pretty much, he's the Google of Burnley, essentially. He is your main man. So do check out what he has to offer. We will be back after the weekend with our analysis show, see where it stands in that great escape. Did Burnley manage to pull off a not that surprise win at Old Trafford this season, given how they're going? Or is the dream over before it really began? And Dave and I will be back next weekend for the preview show ahead of Newcastle United. Yes, that's right, isn't it? Thank you, Dave.
Yes.
He's nodding in the background. Take care, all of you travelling to Old Trafford. I do hope you're rewarded for your loyalty with another away points and do feedback and cheer those boys on to victory. I've been Natalie Bromley. This has been the preview show brought to you by the None and Ever podcast. Until next time.
The None and Ever podcast is brought to you in association with the TalkSport Fan Network. Our host and editor is Natalie Bromley, and the show is produced by Matt Moss. Our resident statistician is Dave Roberts, and our FPL expert is Adam Dennett. The analysis show team is collectively Tom Whittaker, Rich Steele, George Poole, Charlotte Rigby, and Adam Dennett. Our music is provided by George Gaskell, and our newsletter team is headed up by Jamie Smith. If you don't already, you can subscribe to our newsletter by visiting nonenever.substack.com. Thanks as ever go to our partners TalkSport. We are proud to be associated with the TalkSport Fan Network.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.